Welcome to S&C Critical Insights. I'm Katie MacArthur, a partner in S&C's litigation group and co-coordinator of the firm's commodities, futures, and derivatives practice. Today, we're going to talk about recent developments in whistleblower investigations and enforcement actions. With me today to discuss is one of my litigation partners, Annie Ostrager, who's a member of both our criminal defense and investigations and labor and employment practices. Hi, Annie.
Hi, Katie.
Annie, we've recently seen an increased focus on whistleblower investigations, and companies are thinking about what steps they need to take to manage potential risks relating to these sorts of things. Let's start from the beginning. Who qualifies as a whistleblower, and what are the implications of that label?
Colloquially, anyone who reports misconduct by their employer to either a government regulator or someone internally at their company is a whistleblower. But whether someone legally qualifies as a whistleblower depends on the laws and rules that apply to the circumstances. Statutes like the False Claims Act, Dodd-Frank, and Sarbanes-Oxley all have whistleblower provisions and all define that term differently. So that is something that companies need to be attuned to. For example, just last winter, the Supreme Court, in a case called Digital Realty Trust versus Summers, clarified that only someone who reports information directly to the SEC that leads to a successful enforcement action is eligible for protection under the Dodd-Frank anti-retaliation provisions, while Sarbanes-Oxley also protects informants who report to other federal regulators or an internal supervisor. The rewards to whistleblowers are clear. Awards can range from 10 to 30% of the money collected when sanctions imposed by regulators exceed $1 million. And whistleblowers who report jointly under the program can share an award. This year, both the CFTC and SEC announced their largest awards ever, $45 million and $50 million respectively. But there are discussions within these agencies about curtailing whistleblower payouts as these awards keep growing. The SEC is currently considering changes to its whistleblower program that would allow it to reduce awards in the largest cases, where sanctions exceed $100 million. Katie, once a whistleblower reports misconduct to the government, how do regulators like the SEC or the CFTC use that information?
Regulators use whistleblower tips in a variety of ways. Among other things, tips received from whistleblowers can be the impetus for initiating new enforcement actions or opening formal examinations of a regulated entity. They also may contribute to ongoing investigations or provide a basis for regulators to reopen matters that previously were closed. Importantly for companies, both the SEC and the CFTC have been clear that whistleblower submissions increasingly guide their enforcement activities and priorities. In July of this year, CFTC Director of Enforcement James McDonald noted that whistleblower submissions have become a significant part of the CFTC's enforcement program. He observed that tips from whistleblowers have allowed the Division of Enforcement to pursue violations it might otherwise have been unable to detect. And the number of tips coming in is increasing. In 2017, both the SEC and the CFTC received a record number of tips, with more than 4,000 tips going to the SEC and 465 tips going into the CFTC, the most ever received for either entity. These numbers represent a two-thirds increase in the number of tips for the SEC and eight times as many tips for the CFTC since 2012, when the Dodd-Frank whistleblower rules first went into effect. In fact, the number of tips coming into both regulators has increased sharply every year since 2012, as have the number of award claim forms filed by would-be whistleblowers.
Obviously, most of those whistleblower tips do not result in a multi-million dollar award, and just because the number of tips is going up doesn't mean the number of worthwhile or reliable tips is going up. For example, the SEC has reported that while they're currently tracking over 700 whistleblower tips, not all will result in enforcement actions, let alone actions large enough to support a potential whistleblower reward. But because the number of tips is on the rise, regulators are more and more often starting with a one-sided view of the facts from these whistleblower tips, which poses unique challenges to counsel in framing a response to government inquiries and trying to probe and maybe ultimately discredit the whistleblower's report.
Absolutely. And despite the challenges inherent in ascertaining the reliability of whistleblower tips that they may receive, both the SEC and the CFTC have been very clear about the value they believe whistleblower tips provide to their enforcement programs. In keeping with that view, the agencies have said they'll make it a priority to investigate and bring action against firms that retaliate or use restrictive language in employment agreements that have the effect of keeping whistleblowers from providing information. In an annual report to Congress delivered just last year, the SEC Chief of the Office of the Whistleblower, Jane Norberg, emphasized the Commission's commitment to ensuring an environment where whistleblowers can report their concerns without fear of reprisal. In particular, Ms. Norberg noted that the SEC's Office of the Whistleblower continues to coordinate with staff in the Division of Enforcement to identify cases that may be appropriate for enforcement action based on steps taken by companies or individuals that retaliate against employees for whistleblowing efforts. In light of this, Annie, what are some of the retaliation issues that employers should be concerned about?
Companies should consider potential retaliation claims when a potential whistleblower has made either an internal or external report. Under Dodd-Frank, an employer cannot discharge, demote, suspend, threaten, harass in either a direct or indirect manner or discriminate in any way against a whistleblower who provides information to or testifies or assists in an SEC investigation or action. According to the EEOC's 2017 report, retaliation-based discrimination claims doubled in the last 15 years, and last year they were the most common EEOC charge. Because these types of claims are on the rise, employers need to be particularly sensitive to the fact that the way they deal with whistleblowers can have litigation implications and may bear on the scope of the claims whistleblowers bring. Companies also should consider the language they use in employment agreements and other documents governing relationships with current and former employees. The SEC and CFTC are paying special attention to considerations like confidentiality and non-disparagement clauses and arbitration agreements that may have the effect of silencing whistleblowers. Companies should consider their internal protocols for investigating and responding to such reports and for taking disciplinary action or remediating misconduct uncovered by a potential whistleblower. There have also been efforts to encourage and provide additional protections for whistleblowers in other areas. For example, in December of last year, Congress passed a comprehensive tax reform bill that amended the Internal Revenue Code, including to prevent deductions for settlements of sexual harassment claims that have non-disclosure provisions. While the full implications of this change are still being worked out, it's clear it will have an impact on how companies deal with employees who have raised internal complaints. As you noted, Katie, companies can face enforcement actions from the SEC and CFTC for retaliation or for using restrictive employment agreements at the same time as they face enforcement actions that began with a whistleblower tip. According to the SEC's 2017 report, the vast majority of successful whistleblowers first raise concerns about wrongdoing internally to supervisors or compliance personnel before they went to the government, which gives companies the opportunity to address claims before a regulator gets involved. At the end of the day, whether or not a current or former employee receives whistleblower protection, from an enforcement and litigation risk management perspective, companies should care about who may be providing unvetted information to their regulators and should keep in mind that any new regulatory inquiry could be based on an unreliable tip when they frame their early responses to those regulators and government agencies.
That's exactly right, Annie. In the current environment, even apparently routine inquiries really have to be considered in view of the possibility that they may be based on some sort of whistleblower tip. This may mean, for example, that companies receive more expansive requests for documents than might have been true in the past, and those requests may come without any real information from the regulator about what prompted the inquiry, given the confidentiality that's afforded to whistleblowers. Companies need skilled counsel who can engage effectively with regulators in order to get as much information as possible to help guide the company's own investigation, and then to develop a suitable work plan for quickly and efficiently identifying any potential lurking issues. Speed and efficiency are key here, and they go hand in hand, because you have to tailor the expenditure of resources to the scope of the potential risk, but those are often unknown at the outset. As a result, there's an added value to retaining counsel who have broad experience with the enforcement staff and are familiar with how the staff may be likely to think about these sorts of things. A cooperative posture can be especially helpful to quickly correct any misapprehensions the government may have because of the whistleblower, and to redirect the investigation towards the key issues and hopefully bring about a faster and more successful resolution. And to add to what you said earlier about internal reports, Annie, companies should consider how and when to self-report potential wrongdoing that they may uncover as a result of their own investigations following internal whistleblower reports.
I agree, Katie. In light of all that, what would you say are the key considerations companies should be thinking about when responding to investigations that may be spurred by a whistleblower report?
The key lessons in this space are clear, Annie. First, the requests may be broader and more detailed at the same time without giving away what the regulator already knows or at least thinks they know, and companies need to be prepared to grapple with that. It's important for companies to engage with regulators to gauge what the regulators already know or think they know, and to quickly and efficiently identify any potential lurking issues so that they can assess potential litigation and regulatory risk. In addition, companies should consider proactive self-reporting regarding internal investigations in appropriate circumstances, and they need to bear in mind the possibility of parallel civil actions anytime they receive inquiries from regulators. From an employment perspective, Annie, what would you say are the key takeaways?
I agree with everything you just laid out, Katie. And from an employment perspective, key lessons would include making sure that a company has carve-out language in employment documents like severance agreements that make clear that communications with government agencies and regulators are not chilled in any way. Companies also need anti-retaliation practices that are written and well-publicized and need to provide their employees training on these things. In addition, companies should avoid activities that seek or could be seen as seeking to prevent or discourage whistleblower activity, and especially should not try to root out potential whistleblowers. Companies should proactively follow up with employees who report potential misconduct to supervisors or to compliance personnel, and need to ensure that terminated employees return confidential documents that might otherwise form the basis of a whistleblower report.
Thank you for listening. For more information about our practice, please visit us on the web at www.solcrom.com.